against Britain's and Queen works
own a case.
Let's cut the bull.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Night Rebels. This is the first ever joint podcast collaboration between your two favorite Hunger Games podcasts, Nightlock and Rebellion Radio. My name is Matt.
And I'm Kira.
I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
I'm Leanne Thomas.
So whichever feed you guys are downloading this on, we hope that you will join us on the other podcast that you are not subscribed to. So make sure you guys visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com and NightlockPodcast.com. And just to look us up on iTunes.
So this podcast includes spoilers for the second and third book, so if you haven't read those, you might not want to listen to this.
But if you think you should listen to it, because it's really cool. On Monday last week, the first actual trailer for the film was finally released on Good Morning America. So we're going to listen to it right now.
We could do it, you know. Take off, live in the woods.
They'd catch us.
Well, maybe not.
We wouldn't make it 5 miles.
Welcome, welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
It's your first year of prim. Your name's only been in there once. They're not gonna pick you.
Primrose Everdeen.
Prim! The volunteer!
Here's tribute.
Our tributes, Peter Mallark and Katniss Everdeen.
They just want a good show. That's all they want.
There's 24 of us, Gail. Only one comes out. So you're here to make me look pretty?
I'm here to help you make an impression.
And so it was decreed that each year, the 12 districts of Pan Am shall offer up in tribute one young man and woman between the ages of 12 and 18 to be trained in the art of survival and to be prepared to fight to the death.
This is the time to show them everything. Make sure they remember you.
I just keep wishing I could think of a way to show them that they don't own me. If I'm gonna die, I want to still be me.
I just can't afford to think like that.
I've watched it like 10 times.
No, we were sitting in one of our teachers' rooms while we were listening to it, and we were like freaking out the whole time, and his kids were in there, and it was
yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah, he was staring
like,
at us.
He walked past us and goes, "What are you doing?" And he just walked away.
I was in my school theater, like we were doing previews, which is just like day-long commercials for our show. And yeah. I was just off stage, and like one of the like stage managers was on her laptop, and then she's like, "Oh my god, the Hunger Games podcast is up." And I'm like, "What?" And then like basically, everybody in the
podcast.
Sorry, the trailer's up, and so everybody in the cast basically missed their entrance to watch the Hunger Games trailer.
Totally. Oh, that's hilarious.
For me, I was on the I was on the bus, and somebody had their phone, and I saw it. I'm just like, wait a second, and I couldn't hear it, so I waited till they were done. I'm like, can I see that for a second? And I was freaking out, and everyone on the bus is like, Hurley, shut up.
Oh my god.
This is one of the good things about being homeschooled, because I was home, and since I live on the West Coast, it had already been released like 3 hours earlier, so I just got up, I ate breakfast, and I'm like, oh yeah, the Hunger Games trailer is getting released today, so I like ran over to my computer and watched it, and was like, oh my god.
Did you guys see how when they interviewed Josh, and everyone was screaming, I love you, he goes, no, I love you. He's so funny. Love that kid. So, now that we've heard the whole trailer, we're going to go through it frame by frame. And so you guys can follow along with us at home on the YouTube link, which will be posted on NotLockPodcast.com and Rebellion Radio Podcast. RebellionRadioPodcast.com. Okay.
Yep.
So first we have the preview green screen, which can tell you a lot about the film.
See, I like what they did there with the color. It's nice.
Very I know, it's a very natural feel to it.
Okay,
I think
so
that's just standard for all movies, but okay.
a nice forced green, you know, I'm sure that has some significance.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really long episode.
Wait, guys, we're talking about the color of the preview screen.
Okay, let's move on to 5 seconds in where we see the seam. And can I just say, at this point, I'm already peeing my pants, because does the seam look...
That is great!
Because the seam looks fantastic, am I right?
Is it just like Jen's running, or is it like actually the scene? Which one are you talking about here, really?
Jen looks great in an awesome kind of way.
That's
so
what we figured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
scene kind of just looks like West Virginia to me. I mean, living in Virginia, I drive around that area quite often, and that's basically how it looks, about that run down. It's pretty accurate.
Isn't it in that area, too? Not Virginia, but...
North Carolina.
Yeah, Appalachia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is basically everything that you see there.
Mm. Yeah, it kind of looks like a screenshot from Winter's Bone, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, yeah, you're right.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's like one of those old Western movie scenes, you know?
No? True Grit, you know.
Okay.
All right. So, moving on to, like, let's see.
107.
Okay, 11 seconds.
What do you say?
If you look at 107, the,
fence.
You see the fence there, and...
Oh, right.
And it doesn't look like it's... Well, I guess the top of it, if you look, like, kind of far off, like, you can see the electric fence, so that's good they put that in there. It's definitely shorter than I thought it'd be, the fence.
Right. I thought she crawled under it. I didn't think she could just bend down and go over it. I thought she had to crawl through it.
Yeah, under, like, this little crack under the fence thing.
I thought it was, like, a actual brick, like, wall. Like, I didn't think it was, like, a barbed wire fence.
Well, I mean, something that I'm going to go into a lot later in the podcast is how, like, realistic this all seems. And just before I get into that, looking at the fence, I mean, when you're in a run-down town that can barely afford to have electricity, that's how your fence is going to look. So
that's a good point.
I'm liking how it's looking so far.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. All right.
And that we've overanalyzed a fence.
Yeah. All right.
So, obviously, if you go, like, to... 8 seconds, you see just the voltage sign. I'm putting that out there. Just like
so that reinforces the whole electric fence idea.
As you get to 10 seconds, you start to hear Gale talking.
Yes.
And he doesn't have an Australian accent, so I guess that's good.
Excellent. Mike,
good job, Liam.
Yeah.
So now that we actually see Gale, I want to know, Matt Kira, what do you think of Gale?
I think he looks pretty good. Like, do you mean the actor Gale as Gale, or just Gale as a character?
Both, I guess.
Oh, okay. Kira, you can go first.
Okay. Well, I mean, I definitely just kind of overall, I liked Gale in the first book a lot. Because I'm definitely a woodsy type of person and everything. And, but I think as the series goes on, he kind of just starts to annoy me, as I know some of you agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Liam, he's not my first pick for Gale, but I think it works, so...
All right, going on what Kira said, I think, I do like Gale in the first book because he has a lot of this self-motivation, and he has strong beliefs, and he will stand up, and when he has a strong aspect, he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he wants to achieve. But, like, throughout, as the series progresses, he gets more, like, I think he gets more frustrated with himself that he can't do what he thought he could plan. Like, he wants to take over the capital, he wants to restore peace to Panem, but as the book progresses, he gets frustrated with himself because he can't do that, and he realizes how difficult it is. And I think he just starts to act more like, I don't want to say cocky, but more like,
I think,
selfish in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Arrogant?
Yeah, arrogant, that's it.
Yeah.
Although, from what I've seen in this trailer so far, I'm, like, way more, like, confident. Just because, like, it seems from, like this, like, next screenshot, like, 11 and 12 seconds and everything, and this whole conversation they have in the trailer, they seem, Jen and Liam seem to have, like, really good chemistry. Like,
they do.
Just in this little bit I've seen, and so I'm, like, way more confident in them now. So, like, I mean, I'm probably, like, the only person on Rebellion Radio who isn't, like, full-on hating on Liam, but,
I loosened up a little bit. I do have one comment to say later on, but I'll get to that later.
So, what going on with the connection between Gail and Katniss? I'm actually looking at this page in the Scoop magazine. It's this is Elizabeth Banks talking. She says about between Katniss and Gail, or Jen and Liam. She says this isn't about a first kiss. This is life and death. So she's talking about the connection between Jen and Gail. Jen and Liam, and how close they are. Like they're actually their best friends. Which actually really helps them in the movie.
And I think their chemistry is more brother and sister than it is, like, a relationship.
Right.
A romantic relationship. I think that it just... You can kind of see that more, kind of presented on screen than you can in the book.
Yeah. Seems like a big brother to her.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're not going with the Twilight thing. Because Gail, as a lover, never really worked for me. He always seemed a bit too pushy, like... You know, we could run away together, huh?
Yeah.
Wanna?
Hunting buddy.
Wouldn't make it 5 miles.
Oh, boy. She didn't say it like that. She didn't say much of a Western accent.
But she does have a kind of southernish accent in this. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but...
Yeah, it's very slight. Very slight, but...
And PETA, too. He has, like, this kind of southern... Like, I think we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
They're both like from Kentucky. Like, they're both from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Josh. He's like the star of the show here.
Maybe because I'm the one who's actually from this area, but it really doesn't sound like they have an accent to me. It just sounds like how we talk, but... Well,
right. I should probably move on. We've spent a long time on this.
Yeah, right, we're analyzing the first 16 seconds.
Yeah, wow. We have like two and a half minutes left.
God.
Okay, this is going to be a great episode, guys. I can tell.
All right. So, at 16 seconds, Katniss is shooting some birds. Yay, awesome, they're laughing.
Yep.
But then, let's see.
Wait, can we just talk about her smile and how good Jen captured Katniss's smile?
I know, right?
Yeah. It's radiant. And you pause it 18 seconds. Just like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, and isn't it said in the books that the only time she smiles is with Gail in the woods?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. This is what I'm talking about, the chemistry. They just look so good together, I think. Not, like, romantically or anything, but just, like...
Happy.
Yeah.
How nice.
Aw, so cute.
So then, at, 22... Oh, who's saying ooh?
We see the scene where the hovercraft comes at, like, 22 seconds? 21?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, I'm just going.
Okay, does this look a lot bigger than anybody ever imagined?
Yes, a million times bigger.
It's like a UFO.
It looks like a giant blimp.
I was gonna say it looked like a Star Wars.
Yeah, it looks like Darth Vader's ship or whatever. I thought it was. Does. That's kind of the size I pictured in the book.
Really?
Just to kind of you know.
I thought they were small, like really small and like maneuverable, but.
Right.
I think there's different types of ships. Like if you have big ones and then smaller ones, like. So I think this is just one of the bigger ones, probably.
Well, I actually think this is... I don't think this is actually the opening of the movie we're seeing. I think this is actually the AVOX scene.
That's what we thought. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, it has to be. It's a Goodyear blimp.
Right.
Do you guys think that... Can you go back?
Yeah.
Do you guys think that this is a flashback, like, going to be a flashback in the movie, or that they're just going to have the AVOX scene happen in, like, real life, like, real time?
You know, I could see it actually happening, like, in real time, like, in the beginning of the movie, it's just them in the woods, and then, like, the AVOX scene happens, like, oh my god, and then, boom, the Hunger
Games.
We also
have to keep in mind, they casted Katniss's father, so there could also be the flashback, it could also be the real-life thing where her father dies, and it could be that kind of scene, too. Or that is more likely to be a flashback, though.
Yeah, this could also be, like, a dream, also.
That's
like, when
true.
She opened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, so what is it, 22 seconds? Again, they hide in the brush. Okay, that's great. 26 seconds, so we see the opening of Lionsgate, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, before we move on, I want everybody at home to go to 25 seconds and tell me that Gail does not look like an ape.
Wait.
Oh my god!
You're so mean!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but... His face is very... Yeah.
Mm.
Let's
because most people aren't going to analyze the trailer like we do. That's why.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, okay. Kale, but...
Right, so, gonna move on with the whole Lionsgate opening. Pretty cool. And now, 28-29 seconds is the start of the briefing, where you see all the District 12 boys and girls walking to the center.
And they're all wearing very bland clothes, too, and they look poor, so at least that's good. They're not all, like, dressed up and everything.
Right. And at 31 seconds, you can also see the Panem flag in the back.
Oh, you can? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, the red flag.
It looks very communist. Oh. It looks very, like, Hitler-esque, you know?
I think it's
sort of an illusion. The colors and the...
I mean, it almost looks like it's, like, the Nazi war eagle or something. It could be.
This kind of reminds me, like, the feel of the trailer gives me that sense, like, kind of like a Nazi war type of film. That's what I would get from it if I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So then we see lovely Elizabeth Banks as Effie.
Oh.
32.
I know. I was going to bring that up. Like,
it
way
looks
too
so
old.
Good, though.
She looks strange.
She captures the Capitol so well.
But, no, she doesn't really seem like that to me. She seems, like, not exactly, like, strange as in Capitol strange, but just, like... I don't know. Like
she does.
I think
like,
she captures like the Capitol weirdness perfectly because the makeup and the hair. It's all like this is exactly how Effie, I imagined her.
But did you guys imagine her being this old? Like it looks like she's like 40s. Yeah.
But that's her makeup, isn't it? Like that's the makeup on
yeah.
her.
Yeah. I remember they could be like the type of plastic surgeries that they've all had.
But like I always imagined Effie as like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I picture it had
I always
pink
thought
hair,
it were kind of old. Like
I thought
35.
The reaping she had a pink wig in the reaping.
Yeah, pink wig and a green dress, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, again, the Capitol feel. Like, all the people dressed in normal clothes and, like, the bland clothes, and then there she is in her bright pink suit, so.
Although, the thing that I'm most interested in with Effie is the accent. So, is she giving us what will be the Capitol accent there?
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
Because it doesn't really sound much like anything. It sounds kind of proper, but it's not as accent-y as I wish it were.
It's sort of British.
Yeah.
It's like, subtle British.
I think it's described in the book as, like, all their syllables end as if they're, are ended in this high-pitched note, so it sounds like they're asking a question when they're just saying things.
So you're talking like this? So,
yeah, like, all the time they're just talking, like, it sounds like they're asking a question, but they're not. Like, it doesn't sound like that to me, but...
Right, I mean, as much as I'd love for them to keep the accent, it would be a bit ridiculous to have her go, welcome to the 74th Hunger Games? Next will be...
It's kind of like, and it's not that it probably ends in a question, it's probably that has, like, the tone and, like, the voice fluctuates. Like, it's high sometimes, it's low sometimes, it's not, like, just a constant voice. Moving on, we see... Let's see.
At 23...
No, not 23. Why are we at 23?
Sorry, 33. We see first glimpse of Katniss in her reaping outfit, and in the book they say that this is her one of her mother's better dresses in chapter one. And so, do you guys think that this like it looks like it could be like her mother's good dress? Because it seems too like
bland.
Yeah, bland and plain to be one of her mother's good ones.
Yeah, but this
but isn't that kind of the point though?
Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah. But her mother did come, like, her mother didn't grow up in the seam. She grew up in a different part of the district. So I expected her clothes to be a little bit better than everyone else's.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think even if you're not in the seam, everything in, District 12 is kind of grungy and gritty.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I don't know. It didn't really seem, like, when I first saw it, I didn't really notice that it was even the dress. I just thought it was just her clothes, but now I kind of see it.
I kind of imagine it, like... Would you dare to say that, like, the most of the seam is kind of, like, not, obviously not, like, a first world country kind of, like, aspect, you know? But, like, the upper classes would have, like, more of, like, a lower class in a first world country, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, alright, so, wait, 34, holding hands with Little Prim.
That's a cute shot.
That's the first time
we see her.
She looks primish. I guess.
Is the unibrow shaved?
Okay, I have a serious problem with that when she was casted. Because Prim is one of my all-time favorite characters, and for her to have a unibrow, I don't think so.
Unacceptable.
Join the club. Yeah, I know. I don't see the relation between her and Katniss. Like, I don't know if they're not supposed to look exactly alike, but there should be some, like, facial features or
Well, no, they address that in the book, because Kenton says that she looks a lot like her dad, and Prim looks like her mom.
Right.
Because her mom is supposed to have, like, blonde hair, and
that's something, like, basically. We don't see her mother in this trailer.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. She is cast, so we know she's in there, but, yeah, we don't see her.
Right. Yeah, but that's, I don't want to be spoiled too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. Which is kind of like, we were talking about this in gym class again, why they didn't show, like, the kissing between Katniss and Peeta. Because they're trying not to give the impression that this is a love story. They're trying not to give that impression.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly not.
But don't you think that there will be a second trailer just about, like, in the games with shots in the games?
I actually hope not. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like this, like, I like this trailer a lot because it wasn't, you know how some trailers will have, like, three different, quote, climaxes of the trailer? Like, this one, the only one was when they pulled out Prim's name from the Reaping. If they had put in parts from the Hunger Games, it would have been, like, super cheesy because it would have been, like, there would be all these dun-dun-dun moments of, like, oh my gosh, she is about to get shot. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, there's already a bunch of, like, big parts in this trailer anyway, so it doesn't need to be, like, have like 50 different ones to make it cheesy. So,
but I think if they have a second trailer with different climaxes, like you said, it would be okay because it's kind of like it's a different time you're seeing it. It's not lumped together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we look at 37, we can see a mass of some of the kids from District 12 waiting to have the Reaping happen.
Remember, didn't we talk about this? How many people did we say were in District 12?
I think we said 8,000. This was like our first episode of Nightlock. I think we read that it was like 8,000 people.
Right.
Was it 12? No, it was 8,000. Yeah.
And so, because that's just like, you can see the mass population.
Yeah. Did you guys from Rebellion Radio, did you guys think that District 12 was bigger, smaller than that?
I don't know. I honestly can't, I don't have any sense of like population or numbers. So, I guess 12,000 seems fine, but like, I really don't know. Like, what city in the U.S. has 12,000? Like, you know what I mean?
Or our town does, probably, but that doesn't really help you, so.
Not L.A., that's for sure.
Not yeah. Fairfax. We got a million.
I didn't picture
12 million.
I honestly didn't picture the size of District 12 to be so big.
I pictured it a lot smaller.
Me too. Like, I pictured, like, you had the seam that a few feet away was the Hob. And then a few feet away was the Victor's Village. Like,
yeah,
stuff
it was
like
all
that.
Like close together.
Right, because you don't want to imagine her like walking miles. It's just like this is there, this is there, this is there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
So yeah. Also at 12:30, or why do I keep saying different numbers?
37.
At 37, we also see what I believe is a peacekeeper.
Yes.
Now
I love the look of the peacekeeper.
Definitely. Yeah, they're. They're definitely different.
They look like stormtroopers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They look like stormtroopers
Star Wars
from
reference number two.
Harry Potter. Wow, Star Wars. Yeah.
Get it right, Kira.
I know. I'm just, I don't have my act together today. Now, is that kind of what you pictured? Like, I don't know.
I mean, obviously she said they're dressed in white, but I didn't know it was that extensive of white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always thought... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I mean... It's basically how I imagined them. I mean, just sort of wrapped in, like, white Kevlar. So it's pretty accurate. I didn't really expect the helmets, but it looks cool.
Yeah, but it does kind of look like a spaceman, you know, like, with the boots. Like, they kind of look like rocket boots, and then the helmet has, like, a shark fin on it, which is weird.
Just watching the movie, him being, like, 3, 2, 1, lift off, and just, like, blasting into space.
Like, when they're doing the countdown in the trailer, you just see the... One of the peacekeepers going in the
sky. It's kind of like the ones where they press a button and their shoes, like, boost out rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is so funny.
All right.
If we go back a second to 38, we see Gale, which we already saw from the Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Yes. Every time we ever see Gale, it's this one shot.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a good shot of him. He's looking serious, very thoughtful.
He's looking concerned. He's looking concerned.
Yeah, worried. Protective and
it's like the mm-hmm. face that he has on in the promotional poster. He has like the he looks really concentrated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Whatever. He looks like he's concentrating, not concentrating.
Alex said that he looked like he was looking at a plate of donuts.
Yeah. Although just something that I noticed, like
I don't know where the donuts come from.
But if you look to the left, there's also another guy directly in focus. And you've got to think that that one guy has, like, that picture on his wall. Yeah. And showing all of his friends, like, look, I'm in the Hunger Games. Look at this. See, I'm right next to him. I'm famous, man.
So, what about...
And then right after our shot, we were just talking about the Peacekeeper shot. Also, Katniss is there. And wow. I think, is that... Shut up! Is that right, like, kind of out of focus to the right of the screen?
Yeah, that's
Gale. Is that Gale?
Yes, right here. That's
yeah,
Gale.
Okay, I'm just
with
clarifying.
With the abnormally large ear. That's Gale.
And some people say, you guys said on, like, your last episode or something that Gale has a really long neck or something.
Does he really? I want to...
He does.
The longer you look at
look
it,
at the poster,
the stranger
his neck
it gets.
Is, like, twice as long as his face.
Oh my god! Okay.
Is this like hate on Gale episode? I mean, really?
Pretty much every episode is a hate on Gale episode. Right.
I don't hate Gale. I just
I do really.
Having a long neck. Me having a long neck
Where
too.
Am I,
but I can make fun of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We know.
Yeah,
I
okay,
really
okay.
hope none of the cast ever listens to our podcast.
Apparently, I think Jackie's listening to this.
I told Jackie. I sent her a message saying you should listen to Nightlock, and so maybe she will. So moving on to where it's 40. We see a shot of Prim.
Little Prim.
And I think it's kind of significant that she's the shortest one near her. Everyone's like
a head
taller.
Cool. I never noticed that.
So I think it also said, like, when she was kind of reaped or whatever, if you could call it that.
Yeah. Make sure you said reaped. Cause
reaped. Yes. Reaped.
you guys got on. Good. I wasn't alone there.
Yeah. They also said how small she was, and so I thought that was kind of a good shot to, like,
also,
show
can
that.
I just point out her double braid?
Yes.
That Katniss worked on with her? Just in
a second. And Katniss always has a single braid, so this is kind of, like, the mini version of Katniss.
Right.
42. We see Katniss comforting Prim a little bit, just being the strong-willed person in the family, because, again, like we talked about, her mother not being there for them, and Karen just being left as a care provider, stuff like that. All that good stuff. And then at 40, like, between 43 and, like, 46 is, again, the comforting aspect. And kind of like Katniss saying, your name's been only there once, they're not going to pick you, which is kind of, like,
so ironic.
Right.
Because, well, again, in the end...
Because they do pick her.
Yeah.
They do pick her.
Now, did you guys think it was... acceptable that Prim was picked?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fine.
They have to.
That sets the whole plot of the entire series.
Yeah, it's not really a spoiler alert that she's in the games, you know.
If it's something that you can read on, like, the preview pages from Amazon, it's not a spoiler. Like, before I bought the Hunger Games, I looked at Amazon, and I read, oh, Prim gets chosen. It's not a spoiler.
It's probably, like, when the main character's sister gets chosen for the stuff. I mean, it makes sense. You have to include that because then we don't know why Kat is in the Hunger Games then.
Right, they'll be like, wait, why is she in it? Like, doesn't make sense.
God,
I mean, if they showed Prim getting, like, blown up, then yes.
Okay!
That's a spoiler.
Thanks for...
Yeah.
Whoa. I cried at that scene in the book, just saying. That was really emotional. Okay. Moving on.
At 50, we see a concerned Katniss, and this is as Prim's name is being called, right? Or is it...
No, it's before.
Before.
When her hand is going in, and it's, like circling around on that bolt, I was just, like, getting chills, because it's a creepy image.
Yeah, the tension, it's just...
Alright, and then...
Can I just say, the editing in this trailer, and the camera work just in this trailer, I've got to say, I love how this is filmed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Comment
about the camera work, it's really, like, wobbly and kind of, like, shaky. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of good, because it makes it seem like that it's a live thing, you know?
Right. I mean, usually I don't like it when they use shaky cam for films, since it's been so overused. Like, they did it in Twilight to give it the real look and stuff like that, but... In something like The Hunger Games, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, the editing is very well done. It's not, like, terrible, like, constantly, like, shaking the camera.
Right.
No, it works extremely well.
Right.
Yeah, it's not over-the-top shaking.
Because you have to keep in mind that The Hunger Games is live, so they want to create the live aspect to the audience watching the movie as well. So they're going to have the, like, shaky camera stuff like that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. 53, when it's that scene where we have a clear shot at Effie announcing Prim's name. I just have a quick question. You notice the people on the right and left sitting in the chairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I think on the left, I think that's the mayor and his wife. I'm not sure.
Exactly. Mayor Undersea, right?
Mayor Undersea and his wife. Yeah. But I don't. Yeah. I have no idea who the people on the right are.
And where is Haymitch? He's supposed to be there, right?
I'm just going to take a guess and say Haymitch enters from the right, like, after this, and he's like, I'm here, guys! What's happening?
Doesn't he show up after they call PETA's name?
Yeah.
And doesn't he fall off? He falls off the...
He starts molesting Effie, right?
Okay. There's little Prim, 54.
Yep, she's concerned now.
Alright, we got enough concern here. Oh my god. No, wait, no, that's not concerned. That's when she was chosen.
No, I know, but she's, like, concerned about her well-being, about dying in the game.
Yeah, but you also shown, like, how strong she is. Like, closes her eyes and, like, she maintains, like, she composes herself. So, like, she goes out, she walks right out.
And she just looks so fragile when she walks out.
This is probably the most amazing scene in this entire trailer, is when Katniss jumps out of the crowd, starts screaming her name, and her voice cracks when she screams, I volunteer, which adds so much quality to, like, it's not, that doesn't seem like it's acting. It seems like she's really concerned about her sister. If that's, like, that's good, that's true acting right there.
When I saw that, I was like, I don't want anybody else ever playing Katniss. This is it. Like, perfect casting.
Oh my god, just chills down my spine of that.
I know. Like, if you guys pause at 59 and see her face, like, that is true emotions.
Alright, wait, let me get there so I can see at 56. 58. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Look at that. Look at such a despair and anger and, oh my god.
Like, I know we read a quote on the show before saying that Elizabeth Banks cried after the reaping scene because of Jen's acting, and now I can see why.
Absolutely fantastic. Good job, Jen.
Yay.
And then she just star. Then she just pushes the peacekeepers aside after she's a volunteer, and then she just announces
her brute force, like brutal
then
force.
She just announced to everyone, I volunteer this tribute.
Pausing at 103, the peacekeeper to the left is just like, what the?
Yeah.
I personally think the peacekeepers are complete idiots because they're just like, oh my, I can't stand them. But then again, no one can. This is why they die half the time. He's like, what is this chick doing?
Yeah, there's one just, like, having their hands all, like, in the perfect posture and everything.
All right, so... And then, at 104, we see Gale carrying Prim away and Prim screaming.
Oh, I didn't even see that was Gale.
That, yes, in the book, Gale...
That happened in the book, too.
No, Gale carries Prim away. God, Hura!
I didn't know that. No one else did.
Oh, well, okay. Oh, wait.
Yeah, now we can definitely see it's Gale at 105.
Can you just mention the background? We see the coal sign that says coal on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A capital coal.
104.
When Katniss is walking with the peacekeepers.
Capital coal. That's like the most unoriginal name for a coal company ever.
But well, like probably they're all like that. They're probably called capital agriculture, capital fishing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the lack of creativity on the capital's part. Oh, and then there's little Petey, Josh, at 107 getting chosen.
Well, 106, you can actually see him in the crowd.
106. Let me go back.
Oh.
Oh, my God, I'm switching.
I heard somebody say that they thought that he didn't look, like, I guess, innocent enough. Like, I think, I don't know. Like, people thought that he just was, like, too, like, I guess, reserved or something. Like, people thought that he should look more, like, intimidated or something.
Really? I thought he looked too... Okay. So, in the real book, you know, he has, like, a completely straight face, and it's, like, Katniss could not, like, detect any fear.
Yeah.
In this one, he looks like he's about to cry.
Let me see.
You know, like...
Let's see that.
Like, look at his face when he's coming up. He's, like...
Oh, he looks really
109 is perfect to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I did not expect him to look...
You can see you can see the front anger.
Like, his chin is, like, trembling, too.
You can see, like, the hatred... Like, you can just detect the hatred that he's getting from...
See, at 110, though, like, I see more fear than hatred, though. I can see kind of, like, anger, but it just looks too, like, scared to me. I don't know.
And then you have, it like, one again, 110, you have Katniss doing the glare at PETA.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question. At this point in the book, she goes into a flashback of, like, how he saved her life. Do you think they'll do that right now, or do you think they'll save
it? Right, boy with the bread... They'll save it when she's on the train, I think.
Cause they kind of have the flashback while she's on stage. It'd be like, she, like, has the flashback, she gets back, and they're like, Katniss, let's go, you know.
No, they need to pass some time on the train, because it's about, like, a two-day train ride, so they need to do something.
Right.
That makes sense. All right, and then around. Oh, and then we have at 1:12 is Gale and Katniss in the Justice Building.
The famous speech.
And it's a show. That's all they want. It's a game show. So like, which was in
There's
the teaser 24 trailer.
Of us, Gale. Yeah. Only one can make it out.
That was in the teaser trailer.
No, that was in this, too.
I know,
that's
but I'm saying that his... That's
oh, okay. Yeah, that's where the voiceover came from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Kind of backtracking a little bit. During the reaping part, you can see that Prim has the Mockingjay pin on her dress.
Huh.
Yeah, oh, and I don't like that about it, because... isn't it said in the book that, like, that she pin does. Could have fed a family for, like, well, 3 months
wait,
or something?
Yeah, they said that in chapter one.
But did she give it to Prim?
No.
They make it so that Prim gives it to her.
Oh, really?
In the games.
Oh, really? I thought Madge gave it to her.
She does,
well,
oh, yeah,
in the book.
Changing it.
In the movie, they cut Madge.
Mm. Oh,
well, that's
yeah,
not
okay,
really
not
too
cast.
Much of a loss.
But I thought Madge...
She really didn't do much else in the series.
I was surprised that Collins had Madge give it to her, because I was waiting the whole series. I'm like, okay, when is Madge going to like reappear? How is she going to
exactly.
be significant?
Oh, like, how is Madge going to have some significance in like the third book? Because obviously she's the mayor's daughter, so she has to come back and do something.
Mm-hmm. Right, I had
nope,
the exact same
dead.
Thoughts.
Wow, great minds think alike. So, all right. So that's just questionable cause there.
So then we have from the best-selling epic novels...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah, I like how they do acknowledge it was a good. Book first. That's always good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then 118 mm-hmm. is the train.
Very train-like.
And oh, the train looks awesome.
The
okay.
train looks really cool,
not,
I have to say.
Not to make another Twilight comparison, but the woods, kind of like that shot, is
yes.
very Twilight-y. I don't
That's
know.
That's what
like-
I thought. That's what I thought. And also, it looks like a... In the opening of the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe
oh, yeah.
Narnia movie, it reminded me of that, too, when they're going
yeah.
through
yeah.
the train also. So, it looks kind of like it looks like it's... I think they really show how fast the train is. Like, it looks like it's going so fast. And
definitely.
Yeah.
It just shows the technology, I guess. Of the
Although,
I was
you
just
know,
about to say
as
that.
Much as we bash right. the capital for being a tyrannical dictatorship, gotta say, they are very eco-friendly with their trains.
Wow.
That's good yeah. job, capitalist trains.
Wow, they're environmentally friendly. I think that's one thing that they're good with.
Don't forget to recycle, folks.
No,
yeah.
every time you
Use
recycle, the
recycle.
Capital wins.
That's cool. Okay. And then 120. Okay, this image of Josh on the train reminds me of when he was
yes.
in Little Manhattan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I actually saw that
yes,
when I was on Disney Channel.
Me too!
Yeah, high fives.
Woo!
Yeah, virtual
Across
high fives.
The country, Ooh. High fives.
Yeah,
that's a cute movie.
Yeah.
It's really adorable.
And I just love the curiosity, because I'm assuming at this point he's looking at either the Capitol now or other districts, and this is the first time he and Katniss are out of District 12, and just, I love the curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely
Also,
perfect.
In the background, you can see the chandelier,
Very
which
nice.
Is hanging from the train.
Right.
Again,
yeah.
like, the etiquette and, like, how, like, five-star it is, in a sense.
The difference between
yeah.
the wealth of the capital and the poor of the districts, too. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
and then, okay, 121. What do you guys
wow.
think of how the capital
oh,
looks?
It is amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, one at a time here, kids. All right, Hurley, go.
Okay, so, actually, I have a kind of a weird connection. Does this kind of not look like the Lionsgate logo?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
what I was
yeah.
thinking.
Huh.
Yeah, okay, but for the actual Capitol, it looks incredible. Okay, the sun, first of all, is awesome. Second of all, everything looks really realistic. The buildings look not too, like, not like this is, like, 10 million years in the future, but it looks sort of like the buildings are kind of more angular and...
Mm-hmm.
It looks so good. And the mountains in the back, like, I'm sure this is all computer generated.
Yeah, although I've got to say,
it looks amazing.
It looks
right.
a tad.
Oh, you go.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, it does look a tad
mm-hmm.
computer animated to me, but, like, even still,
right.
it does look really
although,
good, though. I mean,
it
looks
just,
like,
it just captures it so well. It's not like where you picture it's going to be all light, like, colorful. Like, you know, like, just so many different colored buildings. They all seem to look like the same color,
mm-hmm.
which is gray. And it doesn't really have much of. Like that
About
vibrant
looking,
feel to it.
To me, it really
mm-hmm.
looks a lot like, I don't know, like one of our big cities,
mm-hmm.
like L.A. or New York or something. It
Although
does look a lot like that
in,
to me.
Looking
Maybe
in the background,
New York,
we see, like, really big mountains. And the only place in America that has big, really big mountains mm-hmm. is, like, the Rockies. And so, do you think the capital is Denver, Colorado? Because I really think it's
That's
Denver.
That's what I was thinking.
Close. I think, It could be. Maybe because that could have been the only capital that survived through the song.
I mean, there's the big mountains surrounding it.
Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic. So they probably just, the people that survived decided to recolonize the city because there was, they had a foundation where everything else was obliterated. And so, what was, someone had made like a teaser map of how big the districts were and like where
it was
were
basically
located.
A map of the North America, and I know they were on one of the, I don't know if you guys listened to Fireside Chat, but on one of the first couple episodes, I think it might have even been the first one, they had someone on, two people that made a map of Panem and everything, and it was really cool how they placed things and like how big everything was. So I thought that was interesting, and just kind of, obviously it's fan-made, so it's not official.
And if you guys noticed back when Candace and Gil are sitting on the hill, you can see all the mountains in the distance, and on that map it said that District 12 was like in, what did it say?
Yeah,
Virginia.
Yeah, your area,
Virginia,
Alex.
Virginia, Michigan area. So it's like, of course, where we are, District 13, which is obliterated, so we're pretty much dead.
Yeah.
That's great. So it was just, it's kind of like those kind of little bits and pieces of connections that you can make, whereas like viewers, I don't would really focus on that. They're more focused on like the general image.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Alright.
Oh yeah, one more thing before we move on. The music just started, like the actual
Oh my
what do you guys
god.
Think of that?
Oh.
Amazing.
Oh god. Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman, okay, Timon Burnett, I love you.
After I read a lot of the iTunes reviewers, and so I will not go on to a Danny Elfman fanboy rant, but can I just say, this music is amazing. It is very obviously Elfman to me. Like, I can definitely hear it in there. There almost is sort of a magical charm to it, but it utilizes atmosphere so well. I mean, it doesn't have a theme yet. I mean, I guess our main theme will be Ruse Call. But what we're hearing is sort of electronic in a way, like a humming, sort of like computer humming almost, I'd say, is like, wah. Mm-hmm. But I think...
Okay.
Really, because I thought that was sort of like tribal, like, I don't know, because it sounded sort of like Native American, kind of like, did anybody else get that impression?
I didn't.
No?
I didn't get that,
I guess.
I mean, but we both agree, it works tremendously well.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
So, I don't know if you guys listen to what I usually do. I pick a lot of fan-made teaser songs and all that kind of stuff. And actually, they're really good, but I don't think any of them matched what Danny and T-Bone did to capture the Hunger Games. I mean, some of them were really good, and some of them made a lot of sense. But what they're including here is completely different, and it really captures. Like, that's the kind of music I'd picture for the Hunger Games. So.
Right, but... I have one thing, though. Is this T-Bone and Elfman?
All right,
yes.
Well, if this is...
It is?
If this is T-Bone and Elfman, I apologize, T-Bone Burnett, for making fun of your name. I don't care what your name is. This is
I was going to bring that up.
Everybody in this cast is gaining respect in my books, except for Gale, but we'll see.
All right. Okay, let's just move on before this goes into a Gale clash again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, okay. Let's go to 123, where she's... I don't remember where this specifically was.
They're getting ready... They're, like, prepping her for the game, so they're kind of just beautifying her and everything, and, like, this waxing and everything. And
then you see the person in white with the... Was it pink hair?
Mm-hmm.
Pink-reddish.
Pink-reddish hair, that's, again, although, the capital feel to it.
I gotta say, of all
colors.
The things that I've seen here, this is, like, the least of what I imagined... Yeah, I guess I don't go to a lot of hair salons, so maybe this is how they all look.
I go to hair salons. Gotta keep those locks hydrated. But I thought this the shot at 123 kind of looks like a hospital.
Yeah,
it does.
Because everyone's wearing like doctor coats and their like bodies on like.
Because you have to remember, like, the hair and like physical appearance is a big thing. So it's like people judge you based on your appearance, not like what's on the inside. It's the inside that counts, stuff like that. It's more of just like, you don't have this proper hairstyle, we don't accept you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a big thing.
It's definitely a lot brighter.
No.
Than
no,
I imagined. I don't know.
I saw it as like a pure like stark white room. For some reason, like a white room with just chair in it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think this is the shot that was kind of the weirdest for me. Like, it didn't really meld as well with the rest of the Capitol look. I don't know, because
I thought they cleaned her up in her room. That's what I thought. I could be wrong, but...
Same here. More of a bedroom feel.
I think what they're doing just... I think they're just having, like... If you, like, look down the hall, you can see that there's a bunch of, like, other people, like, being worked on also. So I think they're just, like, using this for the movie's purposes as, like, the room where they just prep all the tributes at one time instead of, like, having a separate room for each separate tribute and everything.
Although, am I the only one that finds it really weird that there's just peacekeepers on the other side? I mean, it makes sense that there's peacekeepers.
Well, you know, someone can go on a rampage and spray with hairspray.
Standing there watching. I guess, yeah.
They look like they're wearing black belts, to be honest.
Yeah, they're like karate masters.
Rocking the boots there, too, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then...
And then 124 to, like, 126, they're kind of, whatever. They're taking care of... I think there's, like, a couple of them all doing different things to her. I think they're doing something to her hair first.
Dream team, in a sense.
Yeah, so that's kind of the stylist team, I suppose. And then what are we at now?
127 is our first glimpse of Cinna.
Now, I don't know if you know, but I don't like Lenny Kravitz as Cinna. I don't know, what did you guys think of his casting?
I think I can sum up his performance with one word. You should make an impression. Because... that was his line.
Wow, that's not original.
No, he says like, you're here to make an impression or something. Yeah, it's
okay. I'm sorry, I didn't get the exact quote, but like, I think his first impression was good. I mean, I didn't expect him to be black. I'm sorry.
No,
that's not racist.
I don't think any of us really did. But yeah. Originally, I was very wary because it's just what Lane Kravitz has done. It's nothing like Cinna, at least what I've seen, but. After I saw, like, the first picture of his character and after seeing this trailer, I think it works. I mean, he looks very down-to-earth.
I have to say, the only thing that...
Yeah.
The only thing that doesn't work for me... I like everything I see and hear, the way he talks. It's not really, like, rock stars like Lenny Kravitz. But there is the earring...
Three earrings?
Does that throw anybody off?
A little bit.
No, the earring at, like, 127, it kind of ruins the whole... mentor image for me. Does it for anybody else?
I mean, it's such a quick shot. I only really noticed it, like, the sixth time I watched it.
Oh, really? I noticed it because it was, like...
But I'm pretty happy with him, with what he's done so far.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And so, we're going on to this is the interview scene, which is, at
129. You can see Katniss in her red dress looking absolutely miserable.
With Stanley,
okay, let's talk about
Stanley,
this. Let's talk
who is
about
the funniest
this.
Person I've ever met.
And you also see her spin, I believe.
Yeah, her famous spin that she does
right.
Yeah,
in the interview.
So I'm glad that they included that.
Well, hold on, wait a second. So if this is the one of the problems I have with this trailer. So you know she spins in the book. Is that after or before the fire activates?
That's before and after.
Before and after. So this is not the dress, the full dress.
No.
Wait, are you talking about the chariot ride? Because then she's on fire. But what about, you talking about the interview still?
Yeah, this may be the interview.
No, okay, book two is where she spins, and then it turns into the Mockingjay costume. Mm-hmm. That's book two.
Yeah.
I don't think she's on fire in the interview in book one.
No, she just spins around, and so it tries to wow the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, so when does she come on fire in the...
That's in the chariot.
Yeah, the chariot ride.
Which it gets later.
Her and PETA are on fire.
And they hold hands. It's just so romantic.
Yeah. Okay. And that's something else we didn't see in the trailer that I assumed we would. Mm-hmm. So, but I know they have it in
there. No, but
there
is. The chariot ride's in there.
I know it's in the movie. Okay. It's just not in the trailer.
No, in the trailer.
Oh, there it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get there, guys.
Stanley Tucci we're seeing with the ponytail?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not. This is not how I imagined him. This is very flamboyant. I think that's the only way to describe this.
This is exactly how I imagined him.
I didn't imagine the ponytail.
I didn't either. I thought it was more like short hair, but it was blue.
I imagined him having like purple hair or something, but
yeah. I mean, I just love how
yeah, and, like, his
Caesar
suit.
Has like the like most happy expression you can possibly imagine. It's like, I'm here
Stanley.
And I'm hosting the Hunger Games, and Candace is just
never mind. I'm joking.
Yeah, she looks so miserable.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to work the audience again, trying to make an impression, as Sinna said. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, you're right.
You gotta watch it a few times.
I mean, maybe this is just a little low in acting for Jennifer. Maybe, like, the clip cuts off before we can see her, like, miserable, but then looking at the audience, she sort of gets, like, the idea of stardom and starts to smile. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1:31, we catch the first glimpse of President Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the white flower.
He looks like Santa Claus.
He does look like Santa Claus.
He just needs, like, a hat and a bag, and it's all set.
Yes. The awesome
okay,
hat.
Yeah. Try to put, you see the obscene hair and the hat, all that stuff, Capitol feel again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you see that? Do you see, like, this weird goatee going on there?
I didn't even see that. Yeah, it's like a handlebar mustache.
Something that I've seen with President Snow, he has the white flower on his lapel. Isn't it supposed to be red? I recall being red.
No, it's white.
No, it's white.
No, we can't go into this. This is in the last book. We're not going into this.
Yeah, our podcast doesn't talk about anything after the first book, so we'll have to give our listeners a warning.
It's okay. It's fine. We can't go into that. We'll just point out the white flower. If you guys know what we're talking about,
it's not that I don't like Donald Sutherland being cast as President Snow. I mean, he looks very snowish, I guess. I kind of imagine somebody like Malcolm McDowell being President Snow. And you can look, fans, you can look that up now. But Malcolm McDowell is a very A-list British actor. Would definitely have the Capital accent, and he has a very, like, creepy old man look to him when he wants to. He also can be very charming.
Yeah, but yeah, I think this works, though.
Like you guys said, he's sort of Santa Claus-ish. I mean, don't want this guy coming down my chimney.
We see this... What is this next shot? Is it of, it's like some spectators or something? Like looking
this is a chariot ride. If you look closely, you see the fire in the chariot. You see them on fire.
That's what I was saying. Oh, I didn't even recognize.
But they're like projecting on a poster. Like, what is that?
No, it's that's just the.
I think that's tributes. Yeah, when they're kind of like announcing everyone, instead of just having it on a screen, that's like a modified like Capitol version of a TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, I see.
And I almost said Kristen. I don't know why I said Kristen. Jen's hair looks kind of weird. Like, I don't know. You guys catch that?
Yeah. Mm. That exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I say. It's creepy because, like, when she looks right into the camera, it kind of looks creepy.
Yeah.
The good one was just the way her hair was for lighting it on fire for the chariot ride.
Yeah, maybe.
And we didn't catch a glimpse of Portia in this.
No, we didn't. I don't think she's going to be a very main role. I mean, I think we'll be lucky if we get one line from her.
Is it Portia or Portia? It's Portia. But we rarely ever see her in the books either. I mean, we only see her a little bit, so...
I mean, she was cast, so I feel like she's just going to be there, but it's not going to be, like... People that aren't fans of the series won't even recognize, like, know who she is.
Okay. Yeah. 1:35 is probably the first time we catch, like...
All the tributes.
Not all of them, because I can't see all of them, but... Yeah. If you see the back, so, like, in the front row, you see Thresh and Rue... To the far right, you see Cato and Clove.
Looks really nice, by the way.
And then,
that's a great shot.
The rest are just in the other districts. I'm looking for Jackie, but I don't see her.
Yeah.
Saving the best for last, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm looking for red hair. Don't see red hair. Oh, that could be Glimmer.
Right. I mean, all the tributes are obviously there. I mean, a lot of them just aren't going to be named. Just random people getting killed.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what they're wearing. I mean... Very modern.
Yeah.
Those are their training
outfits,
this whole
training facility almost reminds me of Tron for some reason.
Oh,
it does!
I was about to say that. This is so Tron. Their suits especially.
Yeah. All right.
No,
okay,
no
so
I agree.
I agree with you on this. Okay. And then...
1:36
is the interview with PETA and Caesar when he announces that he's in love with Katniss.
I like how PETA has, like, a red strip, kind of, like, fire. Like, it's a nice touch.
cool. And then, okay, 1:38, little smirk.
Happy Katniss.
Her little sarcastic.
Yeah, she's looking at Rue.
Oh, she Rue.
Oh, that's right, because the next shot is Rue.
And PETA's smiling with it. Oh, look at her. Oh, well.
Well, we don't really know that she is looking at Rue, because they cut these trailers in all sorts of ways, so she could be looking at something else.
That's true.
They're probably giving it the makes, impression, though.
Yeah, I think she is looking at Rue, though, because, like, just the way it's shot.
But can we just say Amandala looks absolutely amazing?
Yeah.
Rue?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
that is Rue.
Perfect.
And there's a 139, all buff Kato.
Kato's
right is
look
Marvel,
at her.
Actually.
Look at her face.
Yeah, you can see that.
And oh, that is
Isabelle Furman. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Look at her face. Look how intense she looks.
Yeah.
She looks a lot sadistic. Different than, like, pictures on Google. If you Google her name, she looks so much older than she does in the movie.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Totally.
Just a random question about Kato and Clove. We've talked a lot about, if they were romantically, like, involved in the games. What do you guys think about that?
Because it's kind of obvious. I mean, I get that impression because when Clove dies, Kato comes running and he, like, holds her in her arms and he starts crying and screaming her name. So it, like, kind of gives that impression.
I actually heard this great fanfic written by Matt.
Oh, thanks, guys. I don't know who that is. I'm sure he's a great writer.
I can see it, I guess. I think, like, say, for some random reasons they got out of the Hunger Games alive together or something, they probably would have. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, if it wasn't for the games, they could have been, like, romantically involved, but I don't think that, like, in the games, they were, like, in a relationship while the games were going on. You know?
Now, like, do you think, because, yeah, I know what you mean, for their age difference, now, Kato is 18, I believe, and Clove is 14?
12.
No, she's not 12, she's 14.
Oh, I thought she was 14. Okay.
I think she's 14, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Alright, so, Kato 18, Clove 14, which is a really big age difference, and you can see the height difference, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see he's, like, a head taller than
More,
she is.
Like,
Two heads taller than she is.
Yeah.
Or she can just be a really midgety, but then...
Ooh,
I don't even know if
she, like,
word,
comes up to his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to, like...
Someone throwing a spear. Probably. Who is that?
No, I think Marvel. It's Marvel. Or Marvel? It looks like Marvel. Or it whatever, like, the guy to the right was.
Yeah, Marvel.
It is Marvel.
And then there's little Katniss... running the obstacles.
Yeah.
Look at her go. And then... Oh, wait, who was that? 142.
I can't even tell. Everyone's jumping around.
Whee!
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Hey. Oh, wait! Oh! Who was that? That was,
You're going so fast. Now, who is at... 144. Who is that?
That's the train right there.
Okay.
That was
his creepy beard.
I know.
Weird.
It's so capital. It's perfect.
There's a Facebook page called Sonika Crane's Beard.
Really?
I saw this thing on Tumblr. It was like a printable Sonika Crane beard. You can just print it out and put it on.
People are going to be going at Sonika Crane for Halloween next year.
I'm going to go to the Hunger Games premiere of Sonika Crane. No Shave March.
Sonika Crane's Beard. It's
S-E-N-E-C-A. Right? Am I right?
Yeah. It's S-E-N-E-C-A.
C-R-A-N-E. What's the... It's this part where Katniss is looking ahead.
Yeah. She looks so pretty.
In her interview outfit.
Let's move on.
Alright. So what do you guys think she's looking at in this? In 144?
Does it matter?
No.
No, but I'm just curious.
God.
She could be looking at many things.
maybe looking at Sonika Crane's beard? I don't know.
Maybe.
Staring into the beard.
She's like, Peter should get one of those.
Okay. And then, this is all just examples of them fighting. Like, Kato training, stabbing a dummy, which is nice.
And then at 148, we see a shot of Haymitch.
Lovely
hair too luscious. I don't
his
like it.
His wig, I see what you mean, April. His wig is just wiggy.
I don't think it's a wig.
It's totally
it
a wig.
It looks like a wig. It looks
he's
like
bald
really
in all the
grown,
pictures.
You really think he grown it out? He grew it out.
Sure.
It
sure,
takes a
not?
While to do that.
He's Woody freaking Harrelson. He can do whatever he wants. He can command his
extensions.
Hair to be grown.
Not even. Like,
I
two or
it
three
looks
months.
Really fake to me. I mean... It's not, like,
okay.
A huge deal, but, you know.
Yeah, we did not see any, like, this is the only, like, it was, like, a second of Haymitch and, like, 3 seconds of his audio line. Like, we did not see enough of him.
I agree.
Well, it is only a trailer.
Me and Haymitch have a bromance, and me and Jennifer Lawrence.
So that's who you were cheating on April with. Okay.
Oh, Hurley, is there something you want to tell us?
Oh, I've told everybody.
Okay, good. Do we need an intervention here?
Guys, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to say.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, so then you're in love with a drunk. The next shot is of Katniss shooting her arrow, which is exciting.
Is this when she shoots it at the pig?
No.
They're in the training center. I wish they'd shown that, but I don't think they did.
No, that'd be way too random for the trailer.
I think it doesn't make sense.
The scene where Seneca looks at her. That's when she shoots the pig.
Oh, if they don't, I'm going to be really mad.
They have to have a shoot of the pig, but in the trailer they cut it so that she shoots an arrow and then they turn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what gets me impressed. And she like just stares blankly. Like, I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah, no. In the movie, she will shoot the pig, but they just cut this so that they were
just like imagine if
that.
You were had right. never read The Hunger Games and you're watching this trailer and going, "Hey, this is really cool." Then suddenly there's just a random pig's head gang shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite scene in this entire trailer. 156.
Second favorite.
That's my favorite.
PETA and Katniss sitting there.
Yeah.
He says his favorite quote. He says his most, like, well-known quote. If I'm gonna die, I want to still be me.
And I can't afford to think like that, Katniss replies.
That's really my favorite line.
This is probably one of my favorite moments in The Hunger Games, perhaps in the entire series, although that's debatable. But anyway, I just love it, and I'm so glad they put it in the trailer. It's so well done.
And then you can see the Capitol lights and everything, and that looks pretty pretty in the background.
Pretty. And I can see what... Who was talking about his accent?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah,
I can kind of see, I want to die. You can see, like, the way he said die.
Yeah, let me listen.
If I'm gonna die.
Yeah, he says die like die.
Yeah.
I don't really think he has an accent.
He definitely has an accent.
If I'm gonna die.
Compared to other movies, this is definitely different than his real voice.
No, I'm sorry. This is just how we talk.
If I'm gonna die.
No.
Well, okay, he's from, like, the... Where he grew up in Kentucky, which is approximately the area of District 12 anyway, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
I know, I'm not saying it matters, but I'm saying there's definitely an accent.
Yeah, there's something there.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
So, the games.
Right, and then,
Yes.
Alright, cool. Walking with the Peacekeepers.
And I never imagined so many Peacekeepers. Is it really necessary to have one every 3 feet?
Well, you know, she might pull out a sword to stab them. You never know.
From where?
I don't know.
From her pocket.
Obviously, yeah.
Guys,
she'll pull out a pen, and then she'll click it, and she'll stab them.
Percy Jackson reference.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just going to say that.
But that's a great shot, though, the Peacekeepers. That is so...
They're so, like, perfect and...
It's like them escorting her to the tube thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Elevator?
Whatever it's called.
Okay. Yes.
The entrance.
Will change.
All right.
And the next one is... This is Prim giving her the...
No. Yeah, Katniss is giving it to Prim. That Prim's hand is, like, really small.
Right.
Okay, so that makes no sense, then.
That doesn't make any sense.
But then, how would they have the Mockingjay then? Because remember, Gale says, like, we said this before.
What actually happened? What if Mr. Everdeen actually, like, gave Katniss the Mockingjay pin, like, the day before he died? It's like, I want you to hold this for me,
Katniss.
Oh,
yeah, maybe.
It's like, yeah, that's, like, something to remember him by.
So you're saying, wait. So the shot at 208, that's...
Maybe the dad maybe, Katniss like, Mrs. Everdeen giving it to Katniss?
No, you can't know, because, like, you can tell, like, his fingers, like, his, they're not, like, dirty.
No, it looks like Katniss's fingers.
Those are woman hands, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He was a coal miner, so he's gonna have, like, roughed up hands.
I don't know, I'm just trying to think of things.
Yeah, maybe Katniss gave it to Prim, and then Prim gave it back?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe Madge did give it to Katniss, and then Katniss gave it to Prim, and Prim gave it back to Katniss. Okay.
Or maybe Madge gave it to Effie, and Effie gave it to Haymitch.
Guys, come on, you know?
And then Finnick appears out of nowhere, and he gives it to someone.
Okay. Right, moving on.
So at 2:10, we see Katniss signing peace to
This is my favorite part of the entire trailer, this one moment. Then we see...
Oh, okay.
So what do you think this is happening in the games when she does this?
I forget. I don't remember.
She does this when Rue dies and when she covers her with flowers.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So, okay, I have a legitimate comment. I love how they're bald.
Yes.
Who?
The people from the district.
It's just powerful. Just, like, the three fingers up and, like, the entire... Like, them being bald, I don't know. I get sort of a poverty feel off of that.
I never really noticed that.
Really? That struck me immediately. Like, they're bald. Yeah. Like, it made me seem like this is, like, a really third world country. Maybe to be more of, like... Maybe it's so hot in the fields that they can't have, like, hair or something.
Or very, like, militarian or something. Or
definitely.
Whatever
right,
it is.
Right. It's really...
So you show, like, the strict government, because Rubik's explaining how strict the government is.
Yeah.
Right, maybe the mandate, like, shave.
Oh, yeah, but this is, like, the part of the trailer where I got chills. Yeah. It's so good.
It also
good.
Has a Boy Scout. That's our salute. So, yeah. Katniss, honorary Boy Scout.
Yeah, same for Girl Scouts. Yeah, they don't... They're not all bald,
oh,
just
dang
the
it.
Two front people.
There goes Hurley's dream.
Ruin the bald.
Whoa. Oh,
whatever.
My God. 213.
Yeah. So yeah, 213, we see her in her little tube.
Which, by the way, she points at the rear how she hates being in closed spaces because she feels like she's in the coal mines.
Where her dad blew up.
And you can see like the fear when she whips around to look at Senna, how the fear in her eyes.
This is definitely my favorite moment because up until now, the music has been slowly like raising up a note. And then now it's just a drone going like, I don't want to imitate it, but it's like, it's a high-pitched drone and she goes up.
Right.
You know? It's an incredible movie moment I cannot wait to see.
And she's in the arena and
it's great.
Sorry, I was watching the scene again and I just
so
like,
217 we see her for the first time in the arena.
So
I didn't picture the tributes to be that close.
Yeah.
See, I didn't expect them to be I didn't expect them to rise up in the middle of a field. I thought they would be at the edge of the arena.
Yeah, now watching it for, like, however many times I've seen it, they're coming up from underground, right?
The way I imagined it was that they're at the very edge, and the cornucopia... you know, actually, this makes more sense, but I didn't expect them to go straight up into a field.
Yeah.
Because they have to battle it out first, so it makes sense to put them there.
In the book, did they come up from underground? Because I thought they came from the sky.
No, they came from... Were you not reading the book?
I read it, I just...
Oh, no, they're definitely
know.
Coming up from underground.
Okay, yeah. I picture something really weird. Kind of.
like a holographic thing?
No, I imagine those, like, hovercrafts, and then a very long tube bringing them down.
No, because remember you said like if you step the off the factory. Platform, you're blown up.
Yeah, I know.
So don't slip off the platform.
Okay, so maybe they weren't shot from the sky.
Well, they could have been shot like in The Incredibles where
Yeah, exactly.
Leos gets propelled down. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh my god, guys.
Oh, and now the infamous countdown. I'm getting a chill that is not leaving my spine at this point. This is
it's
so
just
great.
Such a terrifying countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Is that Jackie?
Yes, there
she
is.
Oh my god, I found Fox face, guys.
Wait, where's Jackie? Where's
224.
Alright, we're completely skipping ahead, but we found her.
Yeah. Sorry, we're both obsessed with Jackie Emerson. Like,
wait, hold on. Where is she?
224.
You barely see her.
Huh. Do you want me to take a picture? I can tiny pick it.
Because there's a lot of shots in 224.
Although...
If you pause
at 224 and you look in the background to, like, the trees, behind that you can see blue, which I assume is the lake.
Yeah, that's another good point.
Oh, that's cool. I never noticed that either.
Tiny picking the picture of Jackie.
And I'm gonna, like, circle it for you guys.
Yeah, like, you can just see that she has red hair, so we know it's Jackie. You can't really see her face. It's all blurry.
Yeah. But the countdown is so great, because every time a number comes up, it cuts to a different shot of somebody... Mm-hmm. Outside of the games.
Yeah.
It shows one shot of Katniss, and she's not in the game. Well, maybe she is in the games, but I was like... because it has like, Prim, then it has, like, all the people of District 12, and they have different shots, but then they have Katniss, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Alright.
And so then they're all just running.
Yeah,
I know.
It's chaotic.
Grabbing things on the ground and running into the forest.
Do you see Josh run?
So wait, do we see the cornucopia in this trailer?
No, they should not show the cornucopia in the trailer.
Yeah, I don't want them to. I was confused.
Which I thought was kind of weird, because then she just, like, picks this random backpack off the ground, and it's, like,
didn't
not
nearly...
Didn't
she fight with Marvel for it? No, not Marvel.
No, it
she
was...
She fought with someone for it, and then Clove mm-hmm. killed them.
Yeah.
Stabbed them in the back of the head, I'd like to point out.
Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. So there's a random shot at 226 of, like, I think, Alex, this is our first view at, like, a first-person point
yeah,
of view
I
shot,
Yeah, I mean,
right?
It's just bursting through, like, the foliage.
Right. I think... It looks
oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first when I was watching, I'm just like, okay, it's just a random tree shot. But then it's there for the purpose of just showing us
right.
the first-person point of view, right?
I mean, I like it.
Very cool.
I mean, as long as it's not first-person. I mean, I like first-person view to an extent. And so...
But
oh, yeah, I mean,
use it.
It'd be nice to see it a few more times. I mean, the way it was done, it looked wonderful. I mean, I cannot compliment the cinematography in this more.
yeah.
Well,
so is
and
that
then,
it? Oh,
then
we
and
get
then
the logo.
The famous whistle.
And then we have our logo with the whistle. And while I do love the whistle, I mean, it's great, it's catchy. Something about the logo just bugs me. It's like, it's the Mockingjay pin.
Really?
Girl, that was on fire.
It's,
that's
it's okay, it's
I
on
love
fire,
the logo.
But at the same time, it feels like it's just trying too hard to be epic. It's like, look, we have epic
really?
Music
that's,
and fire!
I love it. It looks great.
Yeah, but didn't they have the exact same thing? Like, didn't they just release in the... In, a while ago, it was just like the logo of it burning.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Was
yeah.
That? That was a few
it was
ago.
More of an orange fire. Like, this was more of a yellow fire in the actual trailer.
Right. Although, in something I just noticed now... I mean, alright, let me just backtrack for a second. I do love the logo. It's just... It seems like it's trying too hard to be super epic. I don't know. The flames just seems like the random explosion that you see at the end of, like, an action movie, like, trailer. I don't know. It seems like it's trying a bit too hard at that point. But if you look at just, you know, the end credits thing, on the page that says, like, prepare for the games, below that it says soundtrack available on Universal Republic. And I just noticed it this time,
right.
And I'm going
yeah.
on there to see if I can now purchase that. Because if I can, I'm going to now.
No, you... Oh, you cannot purchase it this
early.
Oh,
I still want to.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be able to this early.
Well, I'm just going to test it.
But, anybody else here excited for the soundtrack?
It is.
Is that
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
That's the one soundtrack I'm good about.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Yes, and then I'll copy it off of you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I did have some questions I wanted to bring up. So, overall, do you think it will interest non-fans? Like, if you weren't a fan, would this appeal to you?
I actually have something to say about that. I have a lot of friends who either have read the books and didn't like them, or, like, don't want to read them, or just
haven't.
Well,
shame on
them. Yeah, I know. But they saw this, and they're like, yeah, I want to see it. Like, even if they were on the fence about seeing the movie, if they were like, well, I don't know, I don't want it to, like, ruin my perspective, or, you know, whatever, this changed their minds. They're like, it looks amazing. Like, so, for non-fans, definitely, at least the people I've talked to, it looks, people are really excited about it, even if they're not fans of the books, so...
Do you think, for your friends that didn't know nothing about The Hunger Games, did they understand kind of what it was about from the trailer?
I don't know, because most of them know, because I've told them about it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well,
that's the thing,
fun,
though, because, like,
it.
Well, since we're fans, we know exactly what all these shots are.
Yeah.
Right.
If we have to take a step back and see, what does this trailer actually, like, tell us about this plot? So, like, she gets reaped, they talk about the survival... But, like, do we know anything, like, the games? Like, do you think any, like, a regular just person would know what the games even are?
I feel like they'd be really confused, because they're like, wait, why are people going in a cylinder? What's
remember,
up?
President Snow, like, explained it. Like, if you listen to the trailer again, when he's standing, he says, so be decreed that the 12 districts of Pan Am will elect one boy and girl. Remember that scene where in the trailer
yeah,
he's
but,
talking
but they,
about?
Yeah, but they don't explain what they say. It just says, like, they'll be trained in the art of survival. And something like that. It doesn't really explain, you know, what the games are, why they exist.
Which is kind of, like, attracts people to watch them because they want to know what it is, you know?
That's true, but, like, I guess some of that is part of the surprise appeal, but, like, I think if I was just a regular person, I would like to know what the games actually are.
Yeah. But I feel like if you're so interested in it, you're probably going to go read the book or, like, find out more through the book.
Right.
And I think that most people... at least know someone who has heard about the books or something. Like, it seems like The Hunger Games is really getting a lot more popular now that the trailer has been released.
Yeah.
Like, so many people are getting into the books now, especially now, than I think ever before.
like Kira and I were while we were watching the trailer, I said to her, well, it's kind of amazing, like we're all played this part in the Hunger Games, like we're so involved in it, kind of really cool to see how we're in the fandom before it's become such a big
thing. My role in the podcast,
it's like we're the original fans.
My role in this podcast has always been the Hunger Games hipster. I was a fan of it before Catching Fire.
Well, come on, Alex.
Wait, so what year did you read them, Alex?
I read mine early 2009.
Okay, I read mine, think it was early 2010, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's same great, here. Kira.
Maybe it's late 2009, early 2011.
Yeah, so I've been a fan of this series for so, so long, and it's so rewarding to see all this come together.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was a fan of Percy Jackson since the third book, and the movie was so disappointing. But I enjoy being part of the fandom and being able to watch these things as they grow and become so huge. And I just feel honored to be part of what will hopefully be, like, the next Harry Potter. Not going to say Twilight. Better not be the next Twilight.
Oh, good God.
It will be the next Harry Potter. So, overall, do you think it gives too much away? Not enough? I mean, that's usually something that's brought up with trailers.
Right.
I think it's perfect because it sets the basic story without giving away, like, a bunch of different climactic events. Because that one, like, I think I said this earlier, just, like, with the different, like, climaxes and trailers and stuff. If they had put in a bunch of different important things, like, I don't know, like, Rue dying or something. Like,
oh, boy.
Different things that are, like, big events in the games, then that would have been given enough away, but this ends, like, perfectly because it ends you right where, like, the whole, like, the pace is, like, starting, I guess.
Yeah. So. I think as long as they follow up with a second trailer with the games, and just obviously, like, not give too much away with that, just a few things, then it should be fine. I think it'd be very effective.
Okay, first of all, let me just say this is one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time itself. Like, it's so chilling. The countdown, I cannot say how much that is awesome, but, like, the one place I think this trailer is limited, as you guys said, it's only from the reaping to the, you know, liftoff into the arena. You know? Like, we don't get anything from the second half at all. So I think, as Kira said, once they get the second trailer out, hopefully, maybe we'll get one that's, like, all-encompassing, like, reaping, and then she gets in the games, but...
Yeah.
I think once they have one that actually shows some of the arena, then people get a better idea of what it's about.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Well, that was a good discussion.
Great job, guys.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was long enough. So.
Kira has a little note.
So just a little shout out. It was Hurley's birthday a few days ago.
Happy belated birthday.
Yes, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you.
And Hurley got X-Men First Class for his birthday, so we're sure he's going to enjoy Jen's performance by that. You'll have to let us know how it is.
You guys don't know how excited I am
about
that.
Okay, all right. So Hurley, let's get this straight. You're cheating on April with Haymitch and Jen. Is that right?
At the same time.
Oh, boy.
Guys, it's Jen, though. Like, how can I not? It's very cool, though.
Alright, we're going to end this before it gets too intense.
Yeah.
So don't forget to visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com and NightlockPodcast.com and send us in your emails, guys, about what you thought about the joint episode and if you guys wanted us to do another one probably for the second trailer or right after the movie comes out.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
That would be so great. That's probably going to be like a really long
maybe
episode.
Some of us will even go to the premiere together. Ooh, hint, April.
Okay, guys. So
I just want to say, like, if you are, like, downloading this on Nightlock, check us out on, like, Rebellion Radio. And if you're a Rebellion Radio listener, check out Nightlock, because we're both awesome.
We're buddies now.
Yeah.
Listen to past episodes. I think 7 was our best. Just plugging that.
Okay, well, obviously our first was awful.
Yeah, first was awful. Not well. Anyway.
Our audio was terrible. Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's it. Thank you for listening, guys, and we will see you on our next episodes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woo.
Thank you.
Bye.
And may the odds ever be in your favor.
No.
Such a bad ending.
It's an awesome ending, guys.
Can we cut that out, please?
We have got to come up with the show ending.
Yay.